just being open to advice and criticism. It's really hard to take criticism because, of course, I've got this all figured out, right? I know exactly what I'm doing, and things don't always work, and like actually receiving that criticism and integrating it and not taking it personally, but trying to, see the value in it and accepting it.
What's up, everyone? This is Ankit from Fourspreneur.com, and you're listening to the Fourspreneur podcast. On this show, I talk to founders of successful Salesforce companies and try to get a sense of what it is to be an entrepreneur in Salesforce Cosmos. How did it all start, and how was the journey until now? How do they make decisions, both in professional and personal life? Our goal here is to learn from their examples so that the rest of us can go on and build our own profitable Salesforce businesses. I'm really looking forward to talk to our guest today because she has a similar background like me. She's a developer at heart, but now has embarked on her entrepreneurial journey. She currently holds not one, but two C-level positions, CTO at IT Quality and CEO at M7 Unlimited, where she is also the founder. Hello, Miranda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Developer at heart, and now you have embarked on your entrepreneurial journey. So tell us, how did that happen? And yeah, a little bit on your developer background.
I actually had the great fortune to start programming when I was a child, and I could talk all day about that, but in deference to the format of the show, I won't. I did get interested at a very, very early age, and taught myself a variety of languages before going on to study computer science at a university and achieving my bachelor's degree.
All right. So what's your language of preference?
Or
something that's close to your heart?
Apex, of course.
Really? I mean, I'm still a C++ hardcore fan. Apex is good and I like it, but C++ all the way.
Maybe 10 years ago, I would have agreed with you. At one point, I did have a professor that put something up on the board, and I told her that it would compile with the C++ 95 standard, but not the new draft standard that she was talking about. And she just looked at me like, how do you know this stuff? I definitely used to be a very, very hardcore C++, but I've been in the Salesforce ecosystem since 2006. So, over the last, Yeah, I actually started before Apex was released, and when they released Apex, it's when I actually really truly fell in love with the Salesforce platform.
All right, so what was before Apex? Because I am in Salesforce since 2012, so I don't know about it.
Before the only development that I was doing in Salesforce was S-Controls, which...
All right, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you make this leap of faith and jump?
After working for another company for 11 years, I felt like I had done everything that I could, and an opportunity came up to join Ashley Allen in starting IT Equality. It was called something else when when I started. Literally the day I started, we renamed the company. But over the course of the last couple of years, it became apparent to us that we were trying to do two different things within one company, and it made sense for us to separate our interests. And last year, I began the process of stepping down and focusing on my company. M7 Unlimited was always meant to be app development, but I'm also a consultant at heart, and consultancy always seems to take priority because you got to pay those bills.
Of course.
It just honestly, it kind of feels like just the natural evolution of my career. You know, I started out as just a developer and moved into more of an architect role. I was co-founder of my previous company as well, so it's kind of becoming a serial thing here.
Interesting, because we have the same path. So I also worked as a developer, then I worked as a freelance developer for some people, and then somehow I came in this consulting role where I was not asked to, but I was hired as a developer. But then I started looking at requirements and started making reports and deliveries. So it was I didn't make the move. The move just happened. And now I'm working on a course where I want to teach Salesforce developers to upgrade themselves to consulting, you know, things, because consulting is a totally different ball game. So I have two or three questions to start with, but let's start with, what does M7 do? And you are still on your LinkedIn, it still shows you're involved with IT quality.
Yeah.
Are you still involved?
I'm actually in the process of stepping down at the moment so that I can focus on growing M7 Unlimited. But IT Equality will always be very, very close to my heart. And I will always help them out if they ask.
All right. So I only know Eric Dreschfield from IT Equality, and I only see his posts. So I don't know too much about IT Equality. So tell me, what does M7 do? What do you do?
So right now, M7 Unlimited is a custom development consultancy. We have been working on an app over the entire course of the company's lifetime. Really since 2017, I started laying the foundations for the idea. But currently, at its heart, we are a custom development consultancy. So at the point where admins have pushed the system as far as it can go, you bring us in to push it a little bit further.
All right. So are you like a registered SI partner, ISV, or are you a PDO, because you said apps?
Currently an ISV partner, because I was trying to go down the app pathway, but I'm actually considering switching over to consulting partner, since that just seems to be where the business is taking me.
And is it a one-woman show, or do you have a team around you?
I do have a team around me, a very small team. We are less than five.
You have one app that you're focusing on building right now, and that you will bring it on AppExchange. Can you share more information about it, or is it still in a stealth mode?
No, I can share information about it. It's really a general purpose data manipulation tool. It can support things like deep cloning, as you know, cloning object hierarchies. Not just limited to certain objects, but literally any object and any child object hierarchy. And it can do like a on-the-fly data transformation while it's actually in the cloning process. So steps can be dependent on one another. It also works really well with data synchronization between two loosely related records, and it can create other records based on in Salesforce for like spidering data out. If for example, if you had like one source of truth that needed to touch multiple different records in the system, it can automatically create them from that.
Nice. And you already have customers? It's listed on the AppExchange?
I have a couple of beta customers that are helping me really refine it and clean up some of the usability.
Nice.
I'm not quite ready or comfortable with showing it to the public yet. It really has been a labor of love.
All right. Yeah, I have gone through two security reviews, and it's a challenge, but it's a fun challenge. I mean, I enjoyed it both the times, and I learned a lot. So more power to you. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to get a hand on this or to work with you or something? What are the best ways to connect?
You can reach me on pretty much any platform, Twitter, either my personal Miranda Janelle or company M7 Unlimited. You can reach out on LinkedIn. You can email.
As you said, you're doing the app thing right now. Are you also doing some consulting on the side to take care of those bills?
No, I'm actually primarily consulting right now. With COVID-19, the consulting practice has really taken off because there's a lot of organizations that need support and rapid development.
I know. I just want to say this. In Amsterdam, there was at Your Dreaming last year, there was a presentation by the guy from PDF Butler. And he said, if you are doing an app, you should try to focus more on the app and less on the consulting dollars, because sometimes you can lose the focus from the ball. And this happened through my first startup. So we were also building apps for the App Exchange, and the B2B app market is totally different than B2C. You know, you either sell 50 licenses or you don't. And at some point we were doing more consulting. So it's just a friendly tip, so to say, that, you know, like, consulting is good, but app market is totally different. But I'm sure you're on the right path. So as you said, you've been in the ecosystem for more than, so 2006, that's like more than almost 15 years now, or close to 15 years, let's say. So you have seen many releases, the classic, the Aloha, and now the Lightning. How has the journey been so far?
Honestly, it's been fantastic. There's always something new to learn. And as the ecosystem grows, once upon a time, I felt like I could know it all. Now I don't. It has literally grown so much that I don't think it is possible for one person to know it all. And there's just something about that fascinates me.
Right. You're a curious type.
Very much so.
You know, we have a very vibrant Ohana, as we call it in Salesforce. So how has that contributed to you or to your success? How are your relationships with the local groups and also with the Salesforce people?
I couldn't have done any of this without a local women in tech group starting up over here. You know, just, God, it seems so long ago, but I want to say 2012, 2013, I was so shy and introverted, and I completely avoided Ohana at that point. I was socially awkward, I suppose. And I didn't really feel like I fit in with a bunch of a lot of the communities. I was perfectly content being the developer behind the scenes, you know, didn't want to be in the limelight or anything. But one day I decided, no, I need to stop and think for a moment about what I really want in life, and I did crave that connection, wanted to be able to talk about my passion for the platform with other people, and Melinda Smith started up a local women in tech group, and I actually used that group to come out of my shell, and, you know, like, I went to the first meeting, got so nervous I left. The second one that I went to, I started engaging and then became a regular attendee. And ultimately, Melinda ended up leaving the area. She ended up moving. And this group was helping me. Like, all of a sudden, I was becoming a social creature again. It meant so much to me that I actually stepped up and applied to be a leader of the group. And so that was my first experience being a user group leader. And up until, you know, fairly recently, it took a little bit of work for us to get the LGBTQIA+ group up and running, but I'm now a leader of a second group, and have stepped down from the local women in tech group to do something, you know, even.
Wow! So you guys have a LGBTQ in tech group in San Francisco or in your area?
Well, it's not in San Francisco. Actually, Scott Leichhardt and I started the LGBTQIA+ Trailblazer Community Group. So we are a virtual user group And sanctioned by Salesforce.
Amazing.
The whole nine yards. You know, we got our nice, you know, little page. We're using their resources to get signups and to run meetings. And we're doing meetings every 2 weeks right now, actually, because it's a virtual community.
Wow. And it's open for all.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice. That's more power to you.
Thank you.
Maybe we should do something like this in Berlin or in Europe too. I think Paul Ginsberg would be really interested in that. Yeah, so how did you come up with the idea of your app? And did you see these issues again and again occurring at some clients? And then you were like, okay, I can see something over here. And yeah, how did you first come up with that idea?
Yeah, it really is one of the reasons I have such a hard time leaving the consulting world behind is because it's such a good idea generator. My app, I found myself solving the same problems over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many times I wrote a deep clone solution. And, you know, yes, there are some on the App Exchange, but I always had clients that, you know, they wanted this one or two things custom. And so it ended up leading to, like, I keep doing this over and over and over again. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I just had the solution this way with, you know, these points to anchor in with a little bit of custom logic? You know, I'll bet I can turn that into an app. And ultimately, I created a proposal. I took it to my boss. My boss looked at it and, nah, he passed. So I left and started my own company.
Okay, yeah, that's how it should be. Well, as you mentioned, you are in beta, so there's no question about the revenue right now. But on the other side, as you said, you're funding with the consulting business and things look good. At least they look bright. Like you see that there is some potential in this idea. Also, not just fulfilling you as an entrepreneur, but it's also about generating wealth and, you know, also providing things to the others.
It really is something that at my core, as much as I don't want to admit it, I absolutely love it because, you know, like I get to know all of these different companies and learn about how the industries function and their own unique approaches to how they do things within their businesses. It's so fascinating. I see every consulting engagement as a learning opportunity. And it just helps me refine my own thinking about how I think about the platform and what's possible, you know? Like I said, every engagement's a learning opportunity.
Nice. So you're currently floating in two boats and both of them are running fine.
I'm definitely paying more attention to the consulting side.
Okay.
Right now, I'm well aware of the advice that you gave out before, and it's, you know, it's something I've said with previous companies. It's literally the entire reason why M7 and IT Equality separated, and even with no one else to point the finger at, I find myself doing the exact same thing. So I'm starting to think it may not have been me driving it in the past, but I haven't learned my lesson yet.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you are smart and you know how to maneuver those. So are you now doing it alone or do you have a second in command? Or because you said you're a small team and now because you're, you know, running two boats, how are you managing the whole show?
Rely on my assistant a lot. And then I've got an intern that I'm working with, as well as a couple of contractors.
Okay.
Occasionally here and there when I need their skill sets. Because, like I said, one person can't do it all themselves.
So what have been your top three challenges of running a Salesforce enterprise, and how did you overcome them?
Oh, top three challenges. Well, the number one challenge, at least on the consulting side, is really learning the business side of the picture. You know, I've been a developer for so long. It's I knew it wasn't going to be as easy as, well, you know, I'm a developer, buy my stuff. Like, I knew I was going to have some challenges there, but actually, you know, getting into the mindset of the, you know, being the top decision maker and having that pressure all on sitting squarely on your shoulders and not being able to hand it off to someone, that has been the biggest learning experience for myself, my greatest challenge. Second level challenge, or number two, would be, the hard lessons, like having I had a client that refused to pay, and it wasn't because of any of the work that I did. They went through a financial hardship, and they took the calculated risk that it was going to cost me more money to collect than it was worth, and that was a hard lesson for me. I had to change how I wrote my contracts because of that. That it's definitely been a challenge figuring out just how to actually bill people and, you know, get them to pay on time. And then that one scenario where they don't pay, you know, how much of the collection process is worth it. You just held up a book there. What was that? Yeah.
So I wanted to say it's called The E-Myth, and it's basically a lot recommended. It's about the entrepreneurial myth, and it's about how to run a small business. It's basically for small business people. And the other book I can recommend is called The Consulting Economy. I forgot the writer of it, but just Amazon Consulting Economy. And then that book is also good. That'll give you an idea of how to go in the consulting business. And I was coming to this. So how did you overcome the first challenge? Did you take some coaching? Did you get someone? Or it was just learning by doing?
It's been a lot of learning by doing. It's been a lot of, reading every book that I can. And it actually goes into, I only got to my first two. My third was time management. It's very, very different time management, with executive versus also being the principal. So managing that level. But also just being open to advice and criticism. It's really hard to take criticism because, of course, I've got this all figured out, right? I know exactly what I'm doing, and things don't always work, receiving that criticism and integrating it and not taking it personally, but trying to, see the value in it and accepting it. That's probably my number one piece of advice is just don't take it personally and just try and learn.
Well, I was going to come to that question, the next one, or we can continue over there. So what would be your tip for budding Forcepreneurs, like people who want to start something in Salesforce? And the other question, because you said that you have a lot of consulting work, is there still enough consulting work? Because even in Berlin, if you go in the main hub streets like Kreuzberg, where more IT companies are, and you're like Salesforce consulting, and there are like 5-6 consulting shops already here. Like, the market is there still potential in the market?
I absolutely think that there is, for sure. As far as advice for people who are considering it, do it. Just dive in, do it. You're never gonna know. I know it's a lot easier to say than do. I spent a long time avoiding it myself. For me, it ended up being the right answer. And now I'm working on building my own team, and I'm having, I'm having a lot of fun actually building the company. And I wouldn't have known that I would enjoy that part of it so much if I hadn't just dove in. I did try and split the fence for a very long time, but it's the right decision for me. And I don't think that you're going to know if it's right for you until you try. So do whatever you got to do, dive in and go for it.
Right. Interesting. Let's take a step back and come back to the LGBTQ Or should I add I to it too? Or is it just LGBTQ if I'm saying it wrong?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about the acronym. It is constantly evolving. And to me, the most important thing is that that people approach it with respect and attempt.
Of course.
and at least make an effort. In terms of the group, our official group name is the LGBTQIA+ community group.
Wow. Okay.
And we did do an entire meeting on the acronym.
Okay. And what are the, so I know until Q, what is after that? What does that imply?
LGBTQ, I would be intersexed. A could be ally, it could be asexual. There's a variety of letters that are applicable. The Q could be queer, could be questioning. Again, like I said, it's an ever-growing acronym, and I don't think it will stop. Just like language evolves.
So you won the Golden Hoodie in 2019 for your contribution to the LGBTQIA+ community. How do you feel about that?
It has been such an honor. I don't do any of this for accolades. At the end of the day, I had an experience at work where I was harassed in the bathroom, for having the audacity to be a trans woman that needed to use the restroom at work. It wasn't a coworker. It wasn't anyone connected to my company. It was, someone that wasn't even anyone in our business. It was just someone who was visiting another business in there. But after being harassed, I wanted to I don't want anyone to ever have to feel that way again. And so I started speaking up, and a couple of years later, I'm on the stage at Dreamforce looking out at all of my peers and just asking myself, how on earth am I actually up here right now talking to Sarah Franklin and, sitting next to Wade Wegner and, talking to Andy Fawcett and so many great experiences. Like, my brain is overloaded right now. It's like I'm right back there again. And just being able to get up there. And I didn't want that moment to be about me. I wanted to, how can I use this to actually help my community? Because at the end of the day, that really is a driving motivating factor for me. And I saw an opportunity to talk about the Transgender Day of Remembrance, and I seized it in that moment.
Very good.
It was a phenomenal opportunity, and everyone that was involved in getting me there, I sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, you're a great role model
for giving. Oh, well, thank you.
So I have two questions for you. What is the current state of this community in the IT world? And coming from this background, has it been helpful? Has it gone against you? How has it been so far?
Current state, we've got our community group. A number of companies have employee resource groups. As far as the current state, I'd say it's better than ever. We're actually at a point where we can have honest conversations. A lot of companies are no longer making the assumption of, heteronormative standards.
Right.
We're at a time where we can talk much more openly about the challenges that we face, specifically when it comes to historically there has been a lot of discrimination, and actually being able to call it out and identify it.
Right.
I've only been seeing things improve in in the technology space.
Right. I mean, I've worked for eBay here and Zalando, and they have their own internal LGBTQ groups as well. You know, these are the big firms over here. And when there's a festival, like, you know, there are different kind of cultural groups, like subgroups in the company. Like, you know, there's an Indian subcultural group, there's like Hispanics, and then there's the LGBTQ. And these guys always have the best cake and the best clothes. I should say this, these guys, sorry. Yeah, they have this art of baking. I don't know. anyways.
Yeah.
And for you personally, being from this community, has it helped or does it make a difference today in 2020?
It's one of those things. It is kind of hard to gauge. I have definitely positioned myself in a place of advocacy, and so for me personally, it definitely has helped. It ended up being one of the things, you know, it has helped me differentiate myself, you know, from the herd. I very much so feel like I do know my stuff when it comes to development, but I've also been making a name for myself through my advocacy for the LGBTQIA plus community, and mm-hmm. being recognized for that has in mm-hmm. turn helped not only get my name out there, but you know, mm-hmm. people are now associating my personal brand with my, you know, with the company that I've started, and it's mm-hmm. you know, it's only helping with my reputation. At least that's been my experience.
More power to you guys, and more power to you. I think it's very important to bring these issues out. I mean, I'm from India, and I will say this on record: I love my parents. They are. I'm blessed with very good parents, but my dad still thinks homosexuality is fashion. Like, it's like bell bottoms, it will go away. And I love him to death, and I've tried to explain this to him, but you know, sometimes you just cannot. And he's in that age where I'm like, Dad, you know what, you live in a very small town in India, and that's fine, you enjoy there, you know. And he thinks it's a fad. We have someone in extended family who's a fashion designer in Bollywood, like pretty big, but still they think at some point he will turn back to a normal guy. And I'm like, come on, Jesus. He's 40 now, you know? That's not happening. So, yeah, I think, like, not just there in Europe, but if you guys raise this awareness and take it to India, like, I was in India in July, and there was Pride Parade. In a city of 26 million, there were 1,000 people. It's amazing and shameful at the same time. I was like, it's a city of 20 million people. How can just be 1,000 people at this parade? I mean,
but it has to start somewhere. And oh my gosh, I saw some of the pictures that were coming out of the various Pride festivals across India, and just knowing that it's expanding there, it's so beautiful and it warms my heart.
But I don't know if you've been to Berlin Pride Parade, but I've been to the Amsterdam Pride Parade, which happens on the boat. This thing is dope. You know, the pride happens on boats. And their boats going, and this was like, wow, you know,
that was fun. Fantastic.
That was really fun. Yeah, yeah, you should come to Europe, some Pride Parade. And Berlin has this wild hedonistic, we should not go in more details into that, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
That is definitely on my bucket list, for sure.
Yeah. So just before we move away from the topic, what are your goals for this community? Where do you want it to, like, where do you see it going?
Goals for the community. That's a great one. Personally, I would absolutely love it if more people could feel as free as I do to talk openly. So I want to continue smashing whatever barriers there are to that. You know, 'cause at the end of the day, I didn't get here alone. I had a lot of people helping, so my personal goals are just to continue lowering the barrier of entry to helping people feel more comfortable and to feel safe. Like, you know, early in my career, I didn't feel safe talking about LGBTQIA plus issues in the workplace or you know, or in any business setting. And, you know, now look at me.
We are talking on a podcast
about it. Yeah, now trying to get me to shut up about it. And
I think you are doing a great job. I was very uneducated about homosexuality, and I'm sorry about it. I'm not sorry about it, but I grew up in India, and I didn't know about any of this. And then I moved to Europe, and it still didn't cover. Then I moved to Berlin, and then I was like, oh. And then I'm a kind of person, if I want to know about someone, I go and I read. So I read a lot. And I think people have totally different misconception. This thing exists since beginning of time.
Very much so. You know?
Yeah, so people have wrong misconception, and whoever doesn't know, please read about it. Even go to YouTube and just watch some videos about history, not people dissing about it, because you'll find 1,000 videos about that. But, you know, just genuinely inquire about it, read some literature, and you will find that it happened since ancient Greek, you know. So more power to you for that, and keep spreading that sparkling color around you, I would say. So yeah, slowly we are coming to the close. Nice. I think that's really inspiring what you're doing over here, not just being a developer and entrepreneur, but also taking care of your community and also making sure there's enough awareness so that other people don't face the problem, especially younger generation, you know, kids in their teenage 20s. You know, that's where the soft part is, right? So I really appreciate that. So whom do you look up to for inspiration when you see in an entrepreneurial journey? Please don't say Mark Benioff, because everybody likes him, and I too, but whom do you look up for inspiration? Is there somebody in the LGBTQIA plus community whom you look up to?
There's a lot of people.
Tim Cook.
There are definitely a lot of people that I do look up to. Tim Cook is a very, very fascinating individual. There's a lot of lessons to be learned, but Apple is very much so in a different space than I am. As far as Salesforce executives go, you know, I've always been more of a Parker Harris person over Mark on the got to go on the hard tech side, but truly. I really look up to Tony Proffitt a lot. The way he speaks, if I could just, you know, capture a glimmer of his eloquence,
He has an aura around him, which is very calm, very patient, and he carries with it around him even at 21 o'clock at night coming for a dinner. I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, you know. Do you like any book that you would like to recommend?
Yes, actually. It might be a little off color, but one of the most impactful people in my life that I've really looked up to, and also an entrepreneur, is film director Kevin Smith. And yes, he makes movies about dick and fart jokes. But he has this amazing, amazing message about, you know, whatever it is that you're passionate about, just create something, put something out there. That's how you show your vulnerability. And his book was tremendously impactful. And the book is called Tough Shit. It's life advice from a fat, lazy slob who did good. There's a lot of down to earth gems in that book.
Thank you for taking our time. Do you have any closing notes or anything that you would like to say to people? Any message that you would like to give?
Just be kind to one another. And if you are interested in joining the LGBTQIA plus Trailblazer community group, feel free to reach out, and I will help you get connected with that, and we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much, Miranda. That was really nice. Before we finish, I have a surprise rapid fire round for you. So this is just this or that. So I'll just quickly ask you some questions, and you need to answer fast. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
GUI or CLI?
Ooh, CLI.
Windows or Mac?
Mac.
Hard copy or ebooks?
Ebooks.
Are you a morning person or night?
Definitely night.
Okay, night. Your favorite holiday destination?
Oh, gosh. Holiday destination. Oh, God, Vegas is the first thing that came to mind.
Fair enough. As a business traveler, which city do you like to travel to?
Portland.
Okay. And which hotel is the best value for money?
Oh, best value for money. I know I'm totally wrong about this, but the San Francisco Marriott Marquis because of the pomegranate martinis that they make at Bin 55.
Okay. Interesting. I am looking forward to that. What is the most awful thing you have seen in an org?
Assignment rules that all have the names of someone that was just keyboard mashing, so it's impossible to determine what in the hell everything is doing.
Wow. What is the most impressive thing that you have seen in an org?
Oh, gosh. Having everything actually documented.
Okay. Best Dreamforce and why?
Dreamforce 2019. I got to take part in the developer keynote where I received a golden hoodie, and it's definitely the highlight of my life.
Wow. Congratulations. Last question. Can Google be dethroned?
Yeah, absolutely. Any company can be dethroned with the right idea and motivation.
That's it for now, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, check out the other episodes. Please like, share, and subscribe to Forcepreneur. We are available on all major platforms. If you have feedback about any episode or would like me to interview someone, please go to www.forcepreneur.com and let me know. I will get back to you as soon as I can. This is Ankit Taneja signing out. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.